Thank you for joining me. You're listening to the Torah portion for Friday and Saturday, December 16th and 17th from sundown to sundown. This Torah portion is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This Torah portion is called Vayeshev. It means, and he settled. The Torah portion is Genesis 37, starting at verse 1 to Genesis 40, verse 23. The Haftarah is Amos chapter 2, starting at verse 6, going to chapter 3, verse 8. The Brit Hadashah is Matthew 1, verses 1 to 6, and Matthew 1, 16 to 25. Abba, I thank you for your Shabbats and for your people, and I just pray that your will be done and that the things that are coming on the earth will be understood and that you will open people's eyes to see the things that they need to do to prepare spiritually for your arrival. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all of your people and all of their safety and protection all around the world, Abba. I thank you and praise you and give you all the glory and honor, for yours is the kingdom forever. Amen. Chapter 7 starts the account of Joseph. We're going to spend the next few Torah portions going over the account of Joseph. But there's so much in these Torah portions about Joseph that you could pick just a small number of verses and just get so much out of them that it's hard to know exactly where to start. But I think we're just going to go ahead and start at Genesis 37:1. The Parsha begins it by saying that Jacob is back in the land. Then it says, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Now, when the Bible says that these are the generations of so-and-so, usually it lists all of the children in order. But it doesn't do that here. It starts with Joseph. Now, it's in this Torah portion that we begin to understand that Joseph is a type and shadow of the Messiah. He is a type and shadow of the house of Israel. And he is the type and shadow for lots of prophecies about the end times especially. But he prophesies about the Messiah and about the house of Israel and about the last generation down here at the end. And so this departure from the way that the Bible usually tells us about the generations has a significance. And it has to do with the fact that Joseph is so integral to not only that time back there, but to all the times in the middle, all the middle history of the scriptures, and to us down here at the end. Joseph is a pivotal character. He shows us how the house of Israel behaves. He shows us how the Messiah behaves. And he shows us how things are going to be at the end times. So that's why we have this departure that shows Jacob, Jacob's generation begins with Joseph. Now, Joseph spent his time with the concubines' sons, Bilhah and Zilpah. Now, that places Joseph squarely in the camp of people who are not quite crossed over to be Hebrews. You know, we have people down here at the end who are hanging on the fence. You know, they call themselves Christians and they say, yes, I believe, and Jesus is the Messiah, but I believe that he came to do away with the law. And they say that because they don't have the ketubah. The ketubah, the law, the Torah, is the property of the wife, not the property of the concubines. And so they're scattered because, you know, the house of Israel, I should say, is scattered because of rejecting the ketubah. And the concubine's sons represent those people who were scattered and who are called Gentiles. Now, we all know that when you are Abraham's seed, you are not a Gentile. But we've got people believing that they are saved Gentiles. Now, it's not possible to be a saved Gentile. Those two terms are mutually exclusive. You're either saved and you're a Hebrew, or you're not saved and you're a Gentile. But you can see the confusion. And so Joseph, being with the concubine's son, prophetically speaks forward to a time when those members of the Hebrew family would be called Gentiles. And that's one of the things that the concubines represent, are people who are called Gentiles, yet they have an association with the family. I hope that I haven't confused the issue for you. It's kind of hard to explain that. But the concubine's sons hated Joseph. Now, we're going to find out later on that, you know, Judah hated Joseph as well. You know, the wives' children, the sons of the wives, they hated Joseph as well. Joseph was singled out for particular punishment by these people that hated him so much. And the Bible says that the reason they hated him was because he went and gave bad reports about their behavior when they were out shepherding the flocks. Now, the sages say that what they were doing was eating raw meat. And you know that the Torah says you're not to eat the blood. And so, therefore, it's forbidden to eat raw meat. So, Joseph was a tattletale. And, you know, it says here that he was 17 years old. Now, he was old enough to have had his bar mitzvah, if they did such a thing back then. I believe that they did, because Isaac had what they called a weaning. Remember the weaning, the gathering that everybody got together, and Sarah saw Ishmael giving him a hard time and asked Abraham to kick Ishmael and Hagar out of the household. Do you remember that? Well, I believe that was not Isaac being weaned at the age of 3 or 5 or whenever. I believe that was a bar mitzvah. Of course, it would not have been called necessarily a bar mitzvah back then, but it was his transition from childhood to adulthood. And I believe that, you know, the other sons would have gone through that too. The sons of Jacob would have experienced that kind of transition. So Joseph was 17, and so he was just a very young man. And because of his inexperience, and because he probably was a little bit spoiled by Jacob, he might have had a little bit of hubris, a little bit of, being egotistical about it all. And so he would go and tell on his brothers to gain favor with Jacob, and they hated him for that. Now, Joseph had dreams, and he would go to his brothers and he would talk about these dreams to his brothers. And I can just imagine that he did it in such a way that was a little bit taunting. You know, when you have sons, and I have two sons, they're both vying for attention. And one will say something that's the truth, but it can be said in such a way that it draws the ire of the other brother, you see. And so I can just imagine that Joseph did some of that as well. And, you know, this attitude, this haughty attitude of Joseph, actually is the same attitude of the prodigal son. And it's the attitude that Judah especially hated back then, and still especially hates now, about Joseph, you know, about us who are of Joseph, who are scattered out here in the diaspora, because Judah doesn't even want to recognize that Joseph exists in the world, because the house of Israel, for the last however many thousands of years, has acted it so against the family name, has defiled the family name, has turned against his own brother Judah, has just done so many things to spoil the relationship between himself and Judah. And that's that attitude here in this Torah portion that we see in the beginning of the Torah portion is the attitude of the prodigal son, and it is still an attitude that plagues us with our brother Judah to this day. Now, there are some mysteries that start in verse 12. Now, this has to do with that Jacob called Joseph to him. It's interesting, when Jacob called Joseph, he said, "Here I am." I mean, it was immediate. That's one of the things that we understand about those who are in the Hebrew Roots Movement. If they really are in the Hebrew Roots Movement, the moment that they get a commandment revealed to them, they say, "Yes, here I am. I'm going to obey." The Father calls them, they come running. There's no lagging or anything there. So he says, "Here I am." And Jacob says, "I want you to go find your brothers." So he sends Joseph off to three places. Actually, Joseph is in one of the places, and he's going to go off to two other places. And it is these three places that help us to begin to see how Joseph is the type and shadow of the Messiah. We're going to take a look at the mystery of the three places: the Valley of Hebron, Shechem, and Dothan. Now, we're going to start with the Valley of Hebron, because that's where Jacob was, and that's where he dispatched Joseph. Now, there's a mystery about this, because the Hebrew word for valley is emek. And emek has two meanings. It means valley and it means mystery. There's a mystery about the Valley of Hebron, because Hebron is not a valley. It is on a mountain. But the text says a Valley of Hebron. What it's really saying there is not the Valley of Hebron, it's saying the mystery of Hebron. There's a mystery regarding the dispatching of a son to go to his brothers. He's being dispatched from the father to go to his brothers. Joseph was dispatched, Yeshua was dispatched. Joseph went to his brothers, Yeshua went to his brothers. And then we have Shechem. The mystery that surrounds Shechem has to do with the letters that make up the name. It's Shin, Kaf, Mem in Hebrew. Now, Shin, or Shin, is the letter that is associated with the name El Shaddai. And we all know that Yeshua is El Shaddai. Kaf means to subdue. It also means to sell or buy. So, Joseph was subdued, and he was sold, and someone bought him. He was sold by his brothers, and the Ishmaelites bought him. Yeshua was subdued, and he was sold by Judas, and he was bought by the Roman priesthood, because that was not a Hebrew priesthood in the temple at that time. So he also was sold and bought. And then the Mem has two meanings. It means waters, but it also means people, depending upon the context. Joseph, though, was thrown into a dry cistern. If Mem means waters, why was he thrown into a dry cistern? Well, it's because the Mem comes at the end of the word Shechem. Therefore, it is a closed Mem. That's one of the Hebrew language rules, that the Mem is an open Mem at the beginning of a word and a closed Mem at the end of the word in all but just a few cases. But in this case, it is a closed Mem. Therefore, there's no water. Joseph was thrown into a dry cistern. Now, Shechem has some other things associated with it. It's a place of violence. You know, Shechem is where Dinah was raped, and that's where her brothers Levi and Simeon killed all of those men of the city after they were circumcised. You remember that? Shechem was the place where the kingdom of the house of David was divided in 1 Kings 12:1. But Shechem had rich pastures where flocks could graze, and it was the first place in Canaan that was visited by Abram before he became Abraham. That's in Genesis 12:6. And then later on, Joseph would come back to Shechem to have his bones would be buried back there. So there are some mysteries associated with Shechem. Today, its name is called Nablus. Its modern name is Nablus, and it is home to 3 Palestinian refugee camps. Now we're going to come to Dothan. Okay, let's go back and let's read in Genesis, starting at verse 15. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" He said, "I am seeking my brothers. Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Okay, so Dothan was where Joseph was sent by a man. Now, the tradition is that this man was Gabriel, that, you know, Gabriel met him out there in the desert and just, you know, sent him on to Dothan. But let us see if that's true. We're going to get a clue about the identity of this man. Now, Dothan is the Hebrew word made up of the letters Dalet, Tav, and Nun. Now, Dalet literally means door. The Tav means a mark or sign. It's the sign of the cross is the Tav. It is also the symbolic vehicle of sacrifice, the cross. Okay, and Nun is that quickening of the spirit. It looks like a fish in the Paleo Hebrew. It looks like a little fish, and it's like as soon as you see it, it's gone because it's so quick. It's that instantaneous quickening. It is a letter that's sometimes used as a substitute letter in order to disguise a name. So whose name is hidden in Dothan? Well, you know, in its mystical sense, Nun represents everlasting faithfulness. So given these 3 clues, I think the man that was there was Yeshua. It was not Gabriel. It was Yeshua who came to Joseph just as he came to Abraham when Abraham was sitting in the plains of Mamre. So now Joseph is going to walk about 70 miles in order to find his brethren. And he did not stop until he had fulfilled his father's orders. Now you will recall that 70 is the numerical value for the nations. Now, how do we know that 70 miles? Well, the distance between the Hebron and Dothan is about 70 miles. So Joseph was walking a numerical value that has to do with the nations. Who did Yeshua come for? He came for the nations, did he not? And then Joseph gets to his brothers, and what do? They sell him, the Ishmaelites buy him, but first they have thrown him into a pit. They threw him into a pit. And Yeshua was thrown into a pit as well. So now you can see the association between Joseph and the Messiah starting. You can see how we reach the conclusion that that Joseph is the type and shadow of the Messiah. Now, Joseph had a particular amount of anguish on his way to Egypt when the Ishmaelites bought him and he was brought up out of the pit. I want to read to you from Jasher chapter 41, starting in verse 29. And this should remind you of the anguish that Yeshua had in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, "And Joseph called out from the pit to his brethren and said to them, 'What have I done to you? And in what have I sinned? Why do you not fear the Lord concerning me? Am I not of your bones and flesh? And is not Jacob your father, my father? Why do you do this thing to me this day? And how will you be able to look up to our father Jacob?'" Now, right here he's talking to his brothers and not to the Ishmaelites. "And he continued to cry out and call to his brothers from the pit, and he said, 'O Judah, Simeon, and Levi, my brethren, lift me up from the place of darkness in which you have placed me. Come this day to have compassion on me, you children of the Lord and sons of Jacob, my father. And if I have sinned against you, are you not the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? If they saw an orphan, they had compassion over him, or one that was hungry, they gave him bread to eat, or one that was thirsty, they gave him water to drink, or one that was naked, they covered him with garments.'" And by the way, all of those things right there that I just read to you about having compassion on the orphans, or feeding the ones that are hungry, giving water to the ones that are thirsty, and covering the naked, those are all in Matthew 25. Yeshua spoke about that. Now, down in verse 31, it says, "And how then will you uphold your pity from your brother? For I am of your flesh and bones. And if I have sinned to you, surely you will do this on account of my father." And all his brethren heard his cries in the pit, and his brethren went and removed themselves so the pit, so they might not hear the cries of Joseph and his weeping in the pit. And they went and sat on the opposite side, about the distance of a bow shot, and they sat there to eat bread, and while they were eating, they held counsel together what was to be done with him, whether to slay him or to bring him back to his father. So you see, they were sitting there having lunch, discussing what to do with Joseph. I mean, these are guys who had no remorse, they were just stone cold, remorseless over this thing. But a little bit later, we're going to find out that Reuben had remorse about it. And in Jasher 42:36, it said, this happens before I read this verse. Now we're going to get to where he's with the Ishmaelites. And now this is where Yeshua was. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had been grappling with his brethren in the same way that Joseph was crying out and grappling with his brethren. And now we're going to see another aspect of Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane, because the Ishmaelites foreshadow the Roman temple guards that came to get Yeshua. Just the Ishmaelites took Joseph, and the Roman temple guards took Yeshua. And in Jasher 42:36, it says, "Now he's with the Ishmaelites." It says, "And Joseph cried aloud and wept bitterly upon his mother's grave." Now you see, the caravan that he was riding in with the Ishmaelites were passing by Ephrath, where Rachel was buried. And Joseph ran to her grave and cried for her. The book of Revelation has two women in it. One we know is the whore. And the other one, the other woman is the wife of Yeshua, is Israel. And that would have been the woman, it would have been Israel that Yeshua was so anguished over in the Garden of Gethsemane. And why do I say it was Israel? Because he said, "I did not come except for the lost house of Israel." And the lost house of Israel is the house of Joseph. The house of Joseph and the house of Israel are terms for the same group of people. And so Joseph crying and weeping bitterly on his mother's grave foretells Yeshua crying and weeping bitterly in the Garden of Gethsemane. So much so that he perspired blood. Remember that? And it says, "And he ceased speaking, and for bitterness of heart he became still as stone upon the grave." So what did the Ishmaelites do? Well, they beat Joseph for crying, but the book of Jasher says that God withered all of the hands of those who touched Joseph. Now we're going to see that there's been some other people weeping, because Reuben, in, you know, when they were discussing what to do with Joseph, Reuben said, "Don't shed any blood, just throw him into the pit." You see, that was Reuben's idea. Of course, then Judah had the idea of, you know, let's you know, get some money for him. Well, Reuben, it says in Genesis 37:29, he returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And so when you tear your clothes, there's crying going on. Even though it doesn't say that here, I imagine that Reuben was weeping as well. But the real weeping happened when they got back to Jacob and handed his blood-soaked tunic that Jacob had made for him back to Jacob. And, you know, Judah was the one that did that. He walked in there and he says, "Do you recognize this?" And this incident did such harm to Jacob that it almost killed him. It almost killed him. And that is going to play later on into what happens between the brothers and Joseph when they meet in Egypt. And that'll be in an upcoming Torah portion. Now, the next thing that happens after they take his robe, which has been soaked in animal blood and goat's blood, and they take that back to Jacob and give it to him, the next thing that happens is Judah leaves. Now, the Bible doesn't expressly tell us why Judah left, but it doesn't take too much imagination to understand that he left Jacob's house because he couldn't stand watching the disaster that he had created. And this is going to play itself out in another Torah portion later on when the brothers meet up with Joseph in Egypt. And so now you have a deeper understanding of why we associate Joseph and Yeshua. Joseph, the type and shadow, and Yeshua, the actuality. I hope that you've enjoyed this teaching. Shabbat Shalom.